Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis, and we're glad you're with us. We'd love to hear from you directly right now, so if it's the top of the hour 3 Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel live, and this is a great opportunity to pick up that phone right now and pose that question or that particular situation that you're dealing with, if you are. And that number, of course, 844-322-2742. That's good in the U.S. and Canada. 844-322-2742. Let's talk about it right now because it's Basic Gospel. And here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Yesterday we talked about righteousness, and everybody wants to know if they're right with God, if their sins have been forgiven. And righteousness is really the proof that all that has taken place, that we are right with God. I love how Paul put it in his letter to the Romans chapter 4. And it says, "Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due." Mm-hmm. So if you go to work, your paycheck isn't a gift from your boss. It's something that you've earned. You've done a job, and in exchange for that job, you all have agreed on a certain wage.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So it's not a gift. You have earned that. But when it comes to salvation, when it comes to your standing before God, there's nothing you could do to earn that. There's nothing that you can do that can improve your status. You were sinner, you were lost, you were dead in transgressions and sins, and you were hopeless as far as working your way out of that condition. Mm-hmm. So God reached down in the person of Jesus Christ and saved you by grace, and he gave you the gift of righteousness. So he says this, "And to the one who does not work, but trust him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness." So when we trust God to justify us who are ungodly, then that faith is counted as righteousness. So we are made righteous in the sight of God. Now, at this point, Paul brings in David. And David certainly was a sinner, some heinous sins, mm-hmm. adultery and murder. And yet, Paul decides to talk about David. And he says, "Just as David also speaks of the blessing of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works." And he quotes Psalm 32, verses 1 and 2. "Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin."
Yeah.
So what does this gift of righteousness give us the assurance of? That our sins have been totally forgiven once and for all. God would not declare us righteous or justify us if one sin had been left unpunished or unforgiven. So the fact that we have been declared righteous, the fact that we have been made righteous, imputed righteousness, imparted righteousness, that truth guarantees or is the proof that our sins have been taken away once and for all. So if you want to know if your sins have been taken away, if your sins have been removed once and for all and God remembers them no more, just look at this gift of righteousness. If you're in Christ, you have been made righteous. That righteousness has been credited to your account. That righteousness has been given to you in full. And because you have the righteousness of God, you have forgiveness of sins. That's just the proof that those sins have been forgiven once and for all.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Bob, for those thoughts. And friends, we're glad that you've joined us at for Basic Gospel today. We have plenty of open lines, 844-322-2742. That's good at the U.S. and Canada. And we have open lines, as I said. We have a call coming in even as I speak, but we'll get to that in just a moment. But right now, 844-322-2742. And Bob, as we approach the end of this month of October, we sense a little bit of urgency to see donations meet our expenses. Talk to our listeners a little bit about our need at this time.
Well, we always need finances to help pay for airtime, to help pay for internet partnerships. And so when you give, you're helping to pay those bills. But those particular things, this radio broadcast is a vehicle that God is using to connect people to the love of Jesus Christ. And we want you to be involved in that. We want you to participate in what God is doing through this particular work. It's an important work. Why? Because it is actually addressing the spiritual needs of people. thousands, millions, billions of people are walking this planet just under the cloud of guilt, under the cloud of shame, living in fear, wondering what God thinks about them. And those spiritual problems affect every single other area of life. Mm-hmm. We're a whole human being. We're not just have a spiritual part, a soulish part, and a physical part, and all those function separately. No, we're whole, and we function holistically. So if we're struggling spiritually, we don't have those basic answers in Jesus Christ met, those basic needs that only the Lord can meet, then we're going to struggle in every area of life. Yeah. We're going to look to people to try to meet the spiritual needs that we have at the depths of who we are. So you're helping alleviate those spiritual problems. You're punching fear right in the face and in the hearts of people. You are lifting that cloud of guilt and shame that so many people live under. You're providing hope. You're connecting people to the love of Jesus Christ. I can't think of a more valuable investment than an investment in the good news of Christ Jesus. So give today, give generously so that this message can continue. It's the message that is needed. It's been needed since the very beginning of time. It's needed today. Help connect people to Christ.
Your gift do indeed make a difference. And when you make your gift before the end of October, just a couple of days away now, we'll send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel, Essential Truths to Help You Experience the Love and Grace of Jesus Christ. So again, please donate at basicgospel.net, a big prominent donate link right there on the homepage. Once again, 844-322-2742, that's the number in the U.S. and Canada. We want to hear from you on this edition of Basic Gospel.
Well, thanks, Bob. Well, let's go to our phone lines, and we're going to start right here in Dallas, Texas, and talk with John. Hi, John.
Hi.
Welcome.
It's a good first-time caller.
Great.
I've been listening to your program for, last year or two.
Well, what's kept you? We wanted you to call earlier.
Yeah. Well, thanks. Thanks for the invite. There was a discussion yesterday about evolution in the Bible and how do you deal with this as a Christian? And I was raised in a Baptist church and went off to college, and I lost any touch with the church. I thought my professors were right. The Bible is a fairy tale. And I literally wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. I mean, that's very true. And I'm a technical guy. I have master's in computer science and undergrad science degree and all that stuff. So I've always kind of looked at that, and I never could understand how evolution worked all along. I mean, I kept looking at it going, well, anyway.
Well, can anybody understand that?
Well, no. And it has actually been disproven finally in a definitive way by a Dr. John Sanford. He wrote a book called Genetic Entropy. And they show that every cell division has errors. Even in your body, that's how you grow old. And those accumulate. Well, it happens also in the egg and the sperm. Every generation, the errors accumulate. And they're happening at a molecular level. There's like a 3 billion nucleotides in every one of your cells. Well, every time that divides, there's mistakes. That's the curse. Second law of thermodynamics,
yes,
is the curse that God put on it. And so it always makes a little bit of mistake, just a little, but it accumulates, and no amount of natural selection can make it go away. It's like you're going to go out and you're going to select cars from a junkyard, and they're rusty. But you can select all you want, and it won't stop the rust. Because that's at a molecular level, and selection is at a whole organism level, and it can never make those mutations go away. And now I'm just saying it sort of like that. He does it in a very detailed way. He's proven it. They've done all kinds of research. That is a falsified hypothesis that natural selection created life. or even could maintain it. It's dead.
Yeah.
I mean, no one will talk to him about it. It's really strange. You go to Wikipedia,
well,
and look it up.
Yeah, he's certainly going to be ostracized by most within the scientific community because they believe that evolution is much more than just a theory, that it's the actual way things have happened.
Right.
And you will hear many of them say that it's proven fact when it's never gotten beyond the stage of theory. No one
right.
can prove it because you can't observe it. You see
yep.
micro changes, the thickness of fur on an animal to adjust to colder climates or warmer climates or whatever that might be, but you've never observed, science has never observed the change from one species into another.
The kind.
That has never happened. So as some scientists say, it's such a beautiful idea. It can only be that, an idea. It can only remain in the theory. And as you've said, it's been falsified. But it can only remain as a theory because science is unable to carry out the scientific approach to judge if it's true or not. They can't observe that happening. So it's just speculation, isn't it?
It's absolutely, and it's pure materialism.
Yes, yes, and that's
not,
the point.
It's not really science. It's
yeah.
materialistic philosophy. It's scientism.
That's correct. That is the right word, the absolute right
yep.
word, scientism, and that has become a religion, basically.
Yes.
So you're believing in science as
yep.
kind of the ultimate for truth. And you know, as Richard Dawkins has said in his book, The God Delusion, and some others have said, you know, science has been able to prove how things happen. So therefore, there is no need for God. We don't
right.
need a God to explain things.
Right.
So they're trying to push God out of the story, push God out of the narrative, but they yet to realize that wait a minute, the Creator had a desire to bring the creation into being, and so maybe
right.
we can figure out how all of that happened. But in figuring out all that had happened, it doesn't eliminate the Creator's desire to make it happen. So
right.
it's God exists, and He's made Himself known in nature in such beautiful ways. And anyone who is honest, and even in the scientific community, if you follow the evidence, if you track the evidence, if you're honest with the evidence, you can't help but say there is a God that has made all of this, and it's been beautifully and wonderfully made. And boy, if you come to that point, then the next step is say, hey, I'd like to get to know Him.
Mm-hmm.
And then that's when the revelation of God takes place in the person
Absolutely.
Of Jesus Christ. And so glad it happened with you, John.
Yeah.
After 40 years of, trying to seek truth, and yet, you know, with a scientific background and science as part of your life, it's you had a conflict there, didn't you?
I did, but I think however he made me to not ever accept a lie, and it just kept bugging me that I couldn't, you know, I write sophisticated software, and I could never make their theories work with the evidence.
Mm.
And so I kept looking. And, you know, I finally heard a preacher talk about intelligent design. I read a book on it. Wow, this actually makes sense.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And then that was it. From there, it just, you know, I just read more and more and went, wow, look at this. And, well, of course, God's the way, because how else did this stuff get here?
That's exactly right. I mean, I love what Paul said about Jesus in Colossians chapter 1, that you know, He holds all things together. And apart from Jesus, apart from His power to hold this together, I mean, it would just fly off into a chaotic mess. And I mean, just the fact that there's order, just the fact that there is you know, that we can do what we do is kind of proof positive that there's a God holding this thing together, making it,
absolutely,
making it happen. So,
well, John, we're really glad that you finally called. So don't be a stranger.
Yeah. Call anytime, okay, my friend. And you're in Dallas. Let's love to meet you sometime and hear more about your story.
Yes, indeed. Thanks, John.
Okay.
Great to hear from you.
God bless y'all. Thank you.
Hey, thanks, John.
Bye.
Thanks for your call.
Yeah.
Thanks for your testimony.
Yeah. 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. It's about 3:15 Central Time, and if you're hearing the broadcast at that time, well, it's the live broadcast, 844-322-2742. We have a line open for you right now. We had this question from YouTube viewer Kay. She says, my friend, who is an Orthodox Jew, says his religion allows divorce if the wife is beaten or abused. Does Christianity allow the same protection since two are made one flesh? Much love to you all at Basic Gospel. That's from Kay through YouTube.
Well, Kay, God is never going to tell, for example, a wife to stay in a marriage where she's constantly being physically beaten. I think the first step that somebody needs to be made if they're in that situation is to leave and find safety and to find protection and use the protection of the law to remain safe. And you know, God isn't going to say, stay in there, you know, just put on some boxing gloves and hit back or anything like, no, like that. He's going to say, go get safe. And, so yeah, you would want to walk out of that marriage, if that is the case. Why? Because you just can't stay in it.
Yeah.
And, so yeah, there's a lot of abuse going on out there in the world, a lot of domestic violence, a lot of husbands that are beating their wives. And we are actually seeing stories of the reverse taking place as well. Mm-hmm. It's a sad story, that is happening. But there's no reason that you should stay in that situation. So seek safety.
Yeah.
Get help. Get protection from others. If you belong to a church, get help from the church and let people guide you through that journey. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, if you're the one on the end of being abused and beaten and those sort of things, somehow you think it's your fault. Somehow you think you're to blame, and that if you just act better and be better and do better, things are going to change. Well, that's faulty thinking. That's not based on truth. That's based on fear. And any decision based on fear is not going to be a good one. So
yeah,
if somebody's being abused, they need to get out of that situation, seek safety and protection, and couple with a church, some Christian organization, some group of Christians that can help walk you through that.
Absolutely. Kay, thanks for reaching out to us. We're glad to hear from you. Well, friends, we hope you'll take advantage of the resources that we've produced to lead you into the fullness of God's love and grace found only in the good news of Jesus Christ. You'll find them when you visit basicgospel.net. Just hover over resources or click resources, and you'll find the online store there and all of the materials that we've produced to aid you in spiritual growth and maturity. Well, once again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel with Bob Christopher. I'm Bob Davis. And Bob, we had this call that came in overnight.
Yes, gentlemen. Concerning the principle of the wheat and the tares, it seems obviously that there are bad people sown in or mixed in with good people, obviously, and it's hard to tell the difference sometimes. By that same principle, it seems to me that the Scripture or the Bible, which I believe contains the Word of God, but I also believe that it's some of the passages and some of the parts of the Bible are clearly not inspired of God and are actually not the Word of God. In effect, I believe that there are tares sowed in with the wheat in the Scripture sense. So in other words, for example, when it speaks about 900-year-old people, we know clearly that that can't be possible. I mean, even today with medical technology and modern conveniences, people don't live more than 110 or 120 years at maximum, let alone 200 years, let alone 400 years, let alone 900 years. So would you not agree that that the Bible, which contains such information, such as 900-year-old people, is not actually the Word of God. I would appreciate your opinion on that. Thank you.
Well, I'm not going to share an opinion. I'm going to share what the Word of God has to say, and I think that's where we have to go on questions like that. And in the book of 2 Peter, we read this, for example. Peter's talking about the prophecies of the Old Testament, and he says this, "And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit." So this Word of God is sourced by the Holy Spirit. It's His words being worked out through these human vessels. And so we have to realize that this is God-breathed. Paul talks about the same thing in his letter to Timothy. "All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work." So there are two passages that talk about the reliability, the authority of the Word of God. Now, you question the age of Adam and some of the early humans. Did they really live 930 years long? Did they really live 950-something years long? Well, that's what the Word of God has to say. And if Jesus, and he certainly did, leaned on the authority of the Word of God and said that thy word is truth, then I think we're going to believe that they were that old before they died. Now, here's the deal. When we're born again, we cross over from death to life. We have eternal life. When we die, we're going to be absent from these bodies, but we're going to get new bodies, and those new bodies are imperishable. Those new bodies are immortal. So they're going to be around a lot longer than 930 years. Yeah. Well, God's capable enough of doing that. I mean, that's not beyond His realm of possibilities. To us, it seems far-fetched. It seems impossible, but not to God. Mm-hmm. And there's the deal. If God is going to give us imperishable bodies, immortal bodies, then those bodies are going to live forever. Christ is in His body. He was raised, and that body that was raised was imperishable, immortal. Do you think He's not still in it? And yeah, that's been several thousand years. So, of course, we're going to enter into the realm of eternity. We're going to be outside. It's just going to be a different thing where everything's in the present. But we're going to have a body that's going to go on and go on and go on and go on forever. And that's good news.
And that is good news, especially knowing where we're going to be with
that
body.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Well, we love hearing from our listeners, and thanks for joining us today for Basic Gospel. If you have a question, we'd like for you to ask it, as John did and several others have. Leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742, or you can send an email to bob@basicgospel.net, and either way we'll accomplish that. So again, bob@basicgospel.net, or by voicemail at 844-322-2742. I want to remind you also that once again, we appreciate everyone who helps us keep this program on the air and online, and we need your ongoing support to make sure the message continues going far and wide. Please donate today as we approach the end of October and the bills come due. You can donate. Just click donate at basicgospel.net. And as you make your October gift, we're going to send you a copy of our book, The Basic Gospel, Essential Truths to Help You Experience the Love and Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, of course, you can make your gift now or anytime at basicgospel.net. Again, donate at basicgospel.net. As we approach just a couple of days before the end of October, we really need your help at this time. So donate at basicgospel.net. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.